It is great to see you today. Hey, did everybody get a little rain last night? I think out at our house we got enough for the humidity to rise. I think that's about as much as we got. So, but anyway, it even sprinkled on the way in today, so hopefully that might continue. I don't know what the forecast is, and really does it matter typically what the forecast is. So anyway, I do welcome you. My name is Eric Dirks, and it is a great day to be alive. I don't know if you noticed, but we had some announcement screens going on, and we're going to try to do that more and more so we don't have to take up worship time to make those announcements. And of course, make sure you take a look at the announcements in the bulletin itself. All right, they're written out for you. All of these are very important, so please don't think that any of them we can slough off. I do want to lift up today Lunch Bunch right after the second service. That is a great thing. I don't know if any of you made the trek downstairs, but they have it all fixed up downstairs. So make sure that it's a luau, huh? Well, I didn't wear the right clothes. Yeah. So anyway, please make sure you come back for that this afternoon. Also, newcomers class is today at 1 o'clock. Even if you've been a longtime member and you'd like to maybe learn a little bit about the church, remind yourself about the church, teach me about the church. That is what this is about. It's just coffee with myself, and we step through some things that I've prepared. If you're visiting with us and would like to learn more about the church, this is a way for you to become a member of this church, or at least research becoming a member of this church. And we definitely invite you to come to that. It's at 1 o'clock today, and it goes from 1 to 4. On Sunday afternoon. So anyway, excellent. Make sure that you look at Cliff's notes today, his study guide, and take that home with you. And as Sean will share with you later on, the concerns and joys that are in the bulletin, along with this, make a great devotion for you to take home, spend time with God each day, and lift up folks by name in this church, because we want to be a praying church. Amen. Are you ready for a wonderful worship service this morning? Let us pray. Holy God, we thank you so very much for today. We thank you for the rain, albeit the little bit of rain that we got, Lord. We give you praise for that. And we just ask that as the heat of this next week continues, we ask that you anoint our tempers with patience, that you anoint our spirits with your grace, that you help us, Lord, to stay healthy and happy, that you remind us of our limits before we make ourselves sick, Lord. We love you, and we're here, Lord, this morning, not only to meet together, but primarily to focus our lives upon you, to worship you, Lord, to learn about you, to experience your presence in our lives in this community setting. So be with us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, anoint us fully with your Holy Spirit. Help us be the church, not only to each other, but to this community and the world. Make us one with each other, Lord, and one with you in Jesus' holy, holy name. Amen. If you are able, would you please stand and turn to 369 in your hymnals? Blessed Assurance.
Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Submission, perfect delight. of rapture now burst on my side. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I am my Savior, I'm happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my Savior all the day long.
Amen. Please be seated.
If we could have all the little ones come down, Jody is going to do Kids Corner with us.
I love Jesus. Yes, I do.
I love
Sing
Jesus.
With me. I love Jesus.
How about you?
I love Jesus, yes I do. I love Jesus, how about you?
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus,
yes I do.
Yes I do.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
How about you?
How about you? I love Jesus, yes I do. I love Jesus, how about you?
All right, is this thing on? Hello. Good morning, everybody. Hi, guys. Hey, well, I need for everyone to listen to a really quick story, and then we are going to do something so fun today. And I don't even know if any of you have ever done this before. How many of you are happy to go back to school? Oh, my goodness. Come on. How many of you miss your friends?
Oh,
your friends too, huh, Gabe? Do you know that in the olden days, like way, 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 way long ago, that everybody lived really far away from each other? And they all used to come together on Sundays, and they were so happy to see each other. Kind of like everybody is on the first day of school. Everybody puts on their really, like their new clothes that mom or dad bought you, right? And your new shoes that still hurt, right? And everybody goes into class and you see your friends and everything is new and exciting. Doesn't that just make you smile? It totally makes us moms smile, totally. In the olden days when everybody came into town on Sundays, it was because they knew they were coming into God's house. But not only were they coming into God's house, but they were going to see all of their friends. And that made them so look forward to Sundays. Because not only were they all coming into God's house, but they were coming in joyously to God's house. In Psalm 122, which is in the way back of the Bible, way back, David talks about coming into the house of the Lord and being joyous when we come in. Not getting up on Sunday morning and have to get up early and take a shower and put gel in our hair and put our good shoes on and come sit in church and be really quiet. But coming in to God's house and saying, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord, right? They danced and they sang and they praised God because, you know what? It was so much fun and felt so good to come together and hang with your friends on Sunday. And your best friend, who is? Who's your best friend?
God.
Totally. So this is what we're going to do today. We are going to be happy that we are in the house of the Lord. All right? Well, Pastor Eric, you know what? We are going to have you and Pastor Justin help us today. And Miss Kenna and Miss Deb and Miss Cynthia are all going to help us too. Because we brought a special song with us. A long time ago, when I was probably before you guys were born. Come on. I was part of a church in Arizona that loved to dance and sing. And we recorded a very famous CD, and I brought that CD with us today. And one of the songs on that CD is Psalm 122. So, this is what we're gonna do, okay? Back here, my kids have made all kinds of shakers and ribbons and hula hoops and tambourines, all right? And we're gonna give you guys shakers, and we're gonna turn on the music. And you know what we're going to do? What do you think we're going to do? We are going to dance because we are happy to be in the house of the Lord. Boy, I don't see anybody jumping up and down. How about if I told you you get to take off your shoes when you do it? Woo, take off your shoes, everybody! Only if you want to. All right? So, I want everybody to grab a shaker or something, anything. There's all kinds of stuff over here. I want you to go over there. And I want you to grab something, even the little ones. Come on, I want everybody. You better get up and start dancing. And you don't have to be. When you dance for the Lord, does he care what you look like when you dance? Exactly. All right, does everybody have something? Okay, I want you to split up into four groups. And I want to see every aisle filled with kids. Okay, can we have leaders? Miss Kenna, Miss Deb, Miss Cynthia, Pastor Eric, Pastor Justin. You're going to dance for the Lord.
When I think of you, I see you dancing, you're dancing. When I think of you, I hear you singing to me. When I think of you, I hear you. Lord,
Oh my goodness, I don't know about you, but I'm tired. Come on, everybody. Come on. Oh my goodness gracious. All right, let's just give everybody just a second to come back up here. Oh my goodness. Oh, now you know why we go home and take a nap after church. Huh. God said the seventh day was a day of rest, huh? Woo! All right. Okay. Was that joyous? Was that fun? Guys, was that fun? Yeah. I can't hear ya. Yeah. All right, very cool. Every day should be joyous when God is in our lives. Every single day. We need to find a reason to dance for God. And dancing makes us happy. Can you be mad and dance at the same time? How about sad and dance at the same time? No. But we can be happy and dance at the same time, can't we? And it doesn't matter how young we are, and it doesn't matter how old we are. Right? So that's our lesson for today. David told us in Psalm 122, "I was happy when he said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord." And one more thing we need to remember. Where is the house of the Lord? Can anybody tell me where the house of the Lord is? How about right here? How about right there? Okay. So that means we need to find a reason to be happy every single day and be joyous as we dance for God. Okay, can we bow our heads for a minute? Lord, we come to you today happy, happy, happy that it's Sunday, that we can be replenished in your name, that you can provide us with a gift, that gift of your word that gives us such joy. We thank you for the good things that we have. We know that God didn't tell us that it was all going to be good. He just promised us that he would always be there to walk with us. We know, Lord, that that's your promise to us, and we thank you today. Thank you, thank you for giving us the ability to dance and praise and pray your holy name. Guide these kids as they go through the next week. Help their parents to have the patience they need to get through the next 3 weeks. And bring us all back together next Sunday to be happy and joyous in the house of the Lord. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Eric did remind you about Lunch Bunch, and yes, it is a luau, but if you don't have a grass skirt, that's okay. Come anyway, please. We have a good meal today. The connection card on the back of you. Okay. Don't forget to tear off the third part of your bulletin, the connection card, and fill it out and put it into the offering when the plates come around this morning. And also on the back of your bulletin, please remember those that are listed here in prayer, also those in the nursing home and assisted living residence too. Are there any other joys or concerns that we might lift up this morning? I'd like for us to just kind of go somewhere this morning. Some of you got a daisy, was handed out to you this morning. Even a pastor needs a daisy. Okay. And I want you to imagine that you're at home. There you go. And on your kitchen window seal, there's a single solitude daisy. And this morning, you pick your daisy and you pin it on your lapel. And this is your only plant. So this is a very special daisy. Today must be a special day. Then you walk out the door. We leave the church this morning. We go to the grocery store, and as we're pulling into a parking place close to the door, somebody whips in front of us. There goes a leaf of your daisy. Somebody gets a bad report at work, but you get blamed for it, even though your work ethics were exceptional. A couple more petals of your daisy is gone. There's a promotion at work, and even though you are well qualified, you get looked over because of someone else's good looks. A few more petals of the daisy is gone. Until pretty soon, towards the end of the day, your daisy just has one petal left. Woe be the soul that picks your last daisy. You're only one petal snatch away from a good blow up. But let's change the scenario. We'll add one more person to this story, your next door neighbor. He just happens to own the flower shop. And every night when he comes home from work, he stops at your place and he brings you a bouquet. This isn't just any leftover bouquet that he had that was going bad. It's a fresh bouquet, possibly even roses. It's a top-of-the-line arrangement maybe for him. You don't know why he thinks very highly of you, but you're not complaining. Because of him, you have a sweet fragrance in your home and a step to your bounce. And if somebody messes with your flower, it's okay. You got a new basket coming tomorrow just to replace it. God will load your world with flowers. He hand delivers a bouquet to your door each and every day. Open it, take it, and then when rejections come, you won't be left short petal. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the bouquets of our life, for friends and family, for the freedoms we share in this great country, for the beauty of the earth, for sunshine and sunset, and yes, Lord, for this much needed rain, for all living creatures, for health and work and play, for all the special daisies that we encounter each and every day, we give you praise. And Lord, when we are wounded by thorns, when our petals are being plucked one by one, please help us to remember that it takes touching the thorns of our life for us to appreciate the beauty of the rose. We ask a special blessing on those that are here today, Lord. You know each heart and each need, each joy and each sorrow. Strengthen us to be your hands and feet as we go about our daily lives. Help us to share the sweet fragrance of our bouquets to all that we meet. Thank you, Lord, for all the good that we have in our life. Let us always remember that we can do all things with you, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
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 You want to dance?
No, I'm going
to
go get
this one. If you would, grab your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And while you're doing that, Sean, I just want to say that was awesome and amazing. Thank you so much for that. His the blessings and the mercies of the Lord are definitely new and fresh every single day, even in a world where we lose our daisy petals probably before noon, right? So thank you for that. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. I'll give you a second to find that. Once you have that, if you would, keep your place, hold your place, and please stand with me. Lift your Bibles high and say with me the Bible pledge. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess that my mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, starting in verse 5, "For even when we came into Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were afflicted in every way, disputes without and fears within. But God, who consoles the downcast, consoled us by the arrival of Titus. Now I rejoice not because you were grieved, but because your grief led to repentance. For you felt a godly grief so that you were not harmed in any way by us. For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation and brings no regret, but worldly grief produces death." Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Thank you, Justin. And I too want to thank you, Sean. That was amazing. One joy that I just realized I should have lifted up when during Joys and Concerns. Yesterday, I was blessed to marry or to be the one who is in charge of the marriage ceremony itself. Let me put it that way. Megan Hollingsworth and Brian Phillips. They had a beautiful wedding out at their place, out at Liz's place. And so that was great, except, you know, I'm so sweet, I've just about melted, Sean. You know, the sweat, I'm kidding, folks. That was supposed to be funny. All right, so, but I was wet from head to toe after that wedding. So, but it was a great time, and all were having fun being out there. Well, today we're going to talk about the voice of discouragement that all of us hear in our lives from one time to another. Sometimes the voice comes from other people. Sometimes the voice is in our own heads. But all of us have heard from it from time to time. Anybody here not experienced some voice of discouragement in their life? Yesterday, Jamie and I worked, and the boys worked all day cleaning out our house and cleaning up the house and getting rid of some things that we don't need anymore. And my voice of discouragement was realizing that we filled a dumpster. And that was embarrassing and discouraging at the same time. And I'm kind of thinking, when Kevin comes to pick it up, am I really going to leave it as full as it is? Right? Voice of discouragement. That's kind of a silly thing, but that's an example. Nobody knew more about adversities and hardships than the Apostle Paul. And one reason I believe that he faced such tremendous obstacles and he had such tremendous challenges in his life was because he was always doing so many great things for the Lord. I mean, he wrote over half of the New Testament. No wonder the enemy was constantly fighting against him. I believe that God has called us here at First Church to do some unusual, exciting, extraordinary things for God and for the kingdom of God, as well as we stand at the crossroads of people's lives right here in this church. So let's not be too surprised if the enemy fights us harder, amen, than ever in these coming days. But you have got to know when you make small plans, you can expect small problems. Have you ever thought about that? When you make small plans, you can expect small problems. But when you've got a strong desire to do great things for the Lord and you step out in faith and you dream big dreams, you make big plans, it's then that you can expect the enemy to fight you in a big way with big problems. I have experienced this myself in my own life and any more in my ministry, and this doesn't mean that I want things to go negatively, but many times in church work, when things are a little tough, right? When maybe things are getting personal inside this pastor's heart, I begin to realize, hey, this church is on the verge of doing some great things for the kingdom of God because the enemy doesn't like it very well, and he's making us all take notice. So that's why the Apostle Paul said, fight the good fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Life is a fight. If you're doing something for God, life is a fight. Now, I'd love to be able to stand up here and tell you that if you serve God, you'll never have another problem in the world. You know, if I were Creflo Dollar, I'd say if you do what God says, you're going to get rich, right? Well, maybe. But there's a lot of people that didn't do what God says and have gotten rich, right? But you know, that really is just wishful thinking. God never promised that we'd have a problem-free life without any challenges. As a matter of fact, Jesus told us just the opposite. In John 16:33, Jesus said, in this life, you are going to have all kinds of trouble, hardships, trials, frustrations, but don't get discouraged. Don't let that get you down. Don't lose heart. Just always stay full of joy and keep your eyes upon me, for I have overcome the world, and I'm not going to allow it to harm you. That's pretty awesome words. At least the end of that, right? It's pretty awesome words from Jesus' mouth. And the first part of that is helping us realize that all of us go through hard times. Problems don't have anything to do with how spiritual you are or how dedicated or even how committed you are. Problems are simply a part of life. And everybody has to face them. Some people get a chip on their shoulder because they think they've been dealt an unfair hand, right? That's the card you've been dealt. You've heard that, right? And some people get a chip on their shoulder about that. Maybe some of you today are facing great difficulties where the circumstances that you're in have nothing to do with your decisions. You didn't have anything to do with the problems that you're having today. Maybe it's a life-threatening disease. Maybe your spouse walked out on you, or maybe your company is downsizing. I don't know what it is, but all of us in life, either large or small, face challenges. Amen? So what is your response to your problems? Have you ever thought about that? Maybe reflect over your life and think back to problems that you've had in your life and think about your response to those problems. The important thing is not really the problem itself, but how you respond to the problem that really matters. Problems responded to correctly in your life will advance you forward in your walk with the Lord. They'll make you stronger. They'll make you more mature spiritually. And eventually, even large adversities and large obstacles will be relatively, right? Relatively easy for you to overcome. It's not saying it doesn't hurt. God doesn't send the difficulties. This is one thing I want you to remember today. God doesn't send your difficulties. God doesn't send the problem, but He will use any situation we face in life to mature us and to develop us and to draw us closer to Him. Remember Romans 8:28? We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. Now I will share with you, if you are next to someone who is dying in a hospital room and you're talking to their loved one, that is not the time to quote this verse. Do you hear what I'm saying? There's a time and a place for this verse. And people have to be ready to hear it, right? And maybe whatever issue you're going through in your life, maybe you're not ready to hear this verse yet, but just file it back there. and let it be available to you when you are ready. We know, Paul says, that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. God will not waste any of your adversities. There we go. I almost said adversaries, and I suppose that's true too. But God will turn it around and get some good out of it if you let him and if you keep the right attitude. You see, the word problem comes from the Greek word provolone. I keep wanting to say provolone. The Greek word provolone, which means to drive or to throw forward. Now think about your problems and put that to it. Think about your problems and put that meaning to it. To drive or to throw forward. One thing I can tell you for certain, problems never leave us the same. You will either advance or you will retreat. If you've got the right attitude, you'll come out stronger with a greater confidence in God and his word. On the other hand, if you've got the wrong attitude, you'll come out weaker. You'll come out less confident and possibly even a little bit angry and bitter on the inside. But nobody stays the same after a problem. We can all attest to that, can't we? The water runs a little deeper most of the time when you have come through a problem. And only you can choose which road you're going to go down. The best way to overcome a problem is to solve it or deal with it. That sounds obvious, doesn't it? But let's think about it. What do we do to our problems? Don't we ignore them? Yeah. Until we've learned this lesson, right? I know a lot of times until I learned this lesson, I ignored my problems as long as I could get away with it. Right? And I found out it's kind of like that cut on your arm that gets infected and then heals over. It keeps coming back to the surface, don't your problems keep coming back to the surface? And you keep lashing out at people, usually the people you love the most, right? Or you people think you're grumpy all the time and don't want to be around, right? I mean, they come out somehow. They make their way to the surface. The unfortunate thing about that, and I just put a percentage to it, who knows if it's right, 99% of the time, problems don't automatically disappear because we ignore them. Most of the time, they get worse. Amen? Failing to deal with things in your life that you know aren't right, you know aren't pleasing to God, it's only going to cause you much more pain and heartache in the future. And typically, it's not just us, our own person that we take down with us, is it? We usually take down somebody else with us, whether it's our spouse or our entire family or a workmate. We usually don't sink by ourselves. For some reason, we like to pull people with us. The size of the problem is really not important. What is important is your perspective of the size of the problem. It's your perspective that will greatly determine your success or failure in dealing with that problem or that challenge. What is your perspective of the problem or problems that you are facing today? What is your perspective of the problem? Many times our perspective is swayed because we are in the middle of it, right? You know the old saying, whenever you're going through the storm, you got to keep your eyes on Jesus to keep going in the right direction. You've seen that, heard that, haven't you, before? Ultimately, it's not the size of the problem that's important. It's your perspective of the size of the problem. The right perspective is that the problems we face in life are indeed solvable. The wrong perspective is that the problems we're facing are just too big, too difficult. They're unsolvable. You say, Eric, my marriage is just too far gone. Too much water is under the bridge. Too many heartbreaks and hurts. We can't ever love each other again. We're headed for divorce, Eric. That's the wrong perspective. The wrong perspective is to say, Eric, I'm just so deep in debt, I cannot do anything about it. I can't even see the bottom, Eric. I'm so far out of it. I guess I just make God mad sometimes. He's never going to help me out of this, right? Wrong perspective. perspective. However, the right perspective always maintains a positive attitude of faith regardless of the circumstances. The right perspective says, with God, all things are possible. Right? That's the right perspective. And I'm coming out of this mess in Jesus' name. That is the right perspective. There is no weapon that is formed against me that is going to prosper. That is the right perspective. And this thing has come to pass. It hasn't come to stay. Amen? The right perspective agrees with God's word. And the Bible says in Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. Are you facing a big problem today? Are you facing something seemingly impossible in your life? Does it seem like the whole world has come against you and you just can't see any way out? Then, friend, you need to agree with Psalm 118. We're going to start at verse 10. Listen to what the psalmist says. Though all the nations of the world attack me, and even though they surround me and swarm me like bees, even though they blaze up against me like a roaring flame, yet I will march out behind God's. Can you feel that difference? Yet I will march out behind God's banner, and God will protect me, and God will help me to overcome. You did your best to kill me, O enemy, but the Lord has helped me. He is my strength and song in the heat of battle, and now he has given me victory. Amen? The right perspective of the problems we face in life is to maintain an attitude that says, I don't care what I face in life. I know no matter how hopeless or no matter how impossible it may seem in the natural world, I have a God that is well able to see me through. God is the great I am and is all I ever need. And if God doesn't have it, then guess what? God can create it. Amen? Are you with me today? See, I'm kind of getting excited. I'd like you to get excited with me. God created the whole universe. See, you've got to develop an unshakable confidence in God. You've got to be fully convinced that there is nothing too hard for our God. You've got to know that you know that you know that God loves you with an everlasting love, and God's personally concerned about every one of us. He knows your needs before you ask. He knows the number of hairs on your head, and for some of us, that's fairly easy to count. God knows your words before you speak them. God's planned every day of your life before you were even born, ladies and gentlemen. You see, the right perspective is that the problems we face in life are temporary. They will pass. Amen? Rick Warren, in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, says that as followers of Jesus, earth is not our ultimate home. Let me read that again. As followers of Jesus, earth is not our ultimate home. It explains why some of God's promises seem unfulfilled. Have you ever felt that God's promises in your life are unfulfilled? Have you ever thought about the fact that this is not our home? You see, have you ever felt that some prayers are unanswered and some circumstances seem unfair in your life? Have you ever thought about the fact that this is not our ultimate home? This is not the goal for our life. Amen? Do you hear what I'm saying? What is the goal for our life? Heaven, right? Eternity, the life after. Just like Amazing Grace, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we have no less days to sing God's praise than when we first began. Folks, our 70, 80, 90 years on this earth is about like that. This is not our ultimate home. This is not our ultimate goal in life. Problems will not last forever. They will come to pass. The wrong perspective is that the problems we face are permanent. I'm never going to get out of this mess, Eric. I don't see how you can say these things. That just leads to despair and frustration. Aren't you tired of despair and frustration? The right perspective is that every person in life faces problems, and guess what? It's just part of life. You've got to deal with it. The wrong perspective is, I'm being singled out. I'm being cheated. Life is not treating me fair. I'm a victim here. Listen, problems can make you better, or they can make you what? Problems can make you bitter, or they can make you better. Excuse me. Problems can make you better, or they can make you better. Dyslexia there. I have problems. Problems can change us, or they can control us. Problems can stretch us, or they can stop us. Do you hear the choice in that? I want to say again, it's not the size of the problem, it's your perspective of the size of the problem. With the wrong perspective, you will let the smallest, most insignificant obstacle keep you in defeat for an entire lifetime. But with the right perspective, you will defeat and overcome some of the most incredible obstacles that you never dreamed possible. So, problems then are opportunities in disguise. You should view each challenge that you face in life as a God-given opportunity to grow and advance in your walk with the Lord. See this picture here? I love this picture. It's one of those that I like to hang at home or in my office somewhere where I see it every day. These big old granite rocks out in the off the coast. And the subtitle says, Opportunity. The block of granite which was an obstacle in the path of the weak becomes a stepping stone in the path of the strong. The block of granite which was an obstacle in the path of the weak becomes a stepping stone in the path of the strong. What is your obstacle? And is it going to block your path? Or is it going to be a stepping stone, an opportunity for you? Let that voice of discouragement, let those adversities and hardships in your life be an opportunity that drives you into a deeper understanding of who God really is. Let them drive you to a greater depth and maturity in your faith. Peter talks about how the genuineness of your faith is tested and tried by fire and suffering various trials. It will come out as pure gold, and it will bring much praise and honor and glory to God. You've heard of that, the refiner's fire, right? Amen? Amen? No, you haven't heard of that? Boy, I'm going to have to preach on that one. All right. Malachi 3:2 speaks of the refiner's fire and how your faith will be purified. Even though God does not send the difficulties, He uses your trials to refine and purify your faith so you can be presented to the Lord in righteousness. You see, untested faith has very little value. Untested faith has very little value, but faith that has been tested and tried in the furnace of affliction is one of the most precious possessions a person can ever have. Amen? In your darkest night, when you feel the weakest and it looks the most helpless and you feel so lonely, then your loving Creator, your loving parent and friend is close, and is as close as the very breath that you breathe. Think about that. God is as close as the air that you are breathing. All you've got to do is call out to God. David put it like this: the sorrows of death encompass me. Have you ever been here? The sorrows of death encompass me, and the pains and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. But, boy, I love it when that happens. But in my distress, I called out to the Lord, and He heard my voice. Amen. And he reached down from heaven and brought me out of my great trial. He rescued me from the deep waters. He delivered me from a strong enemy. And now he has turned my darkness into light. Now his strength, I can march out and attack any troop and scale any wall because he has given me the victory in every single battle. Isn't that sweet? Friends, God wants to do the same thing for you. I know that some of you think and feel that you are surrounded by incredible, incredible problems. Your life seems to be a huge mess. You don't see how you can get out of it. Listen. Quit looking at your present-day circumstances and get your eyes on your all-powerful, almighty creator of the entire universe. Quit talking to God about how big your problems are and start talking to your problems about how big your God is. Amen? Maybe you need to write that one down and take it home. Quit talking to God about how big your problems are and start talking to your problems about how big your God is. Remember, challenges never leave us the same. So don't get negative and bitter and start blaming God or blaming other people. If we do that, we're playing right into the enemy's hands. We are exactly where he wants us to be. That's exactly what he wants us to do. You've got to make it backfire on him. Use those adversities. Whoops, I didn't fast forward that, did I? Sorry about that. Use those adversities as stepping stones to get you closer to God. God is looking for people in these last days that have a never-say-die attitude. People that are strong-willed and determined. People that are resilient. People that have made up their mind that nothing's going to hinder them in their walk with the Lord. And by the way, I believe with all my heart that includes all of us. I want all of you to go out here today knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that no problem you face is bigger than your God, our God. Know beyond a shadow of a doubt that no problem you face is bigger than your God. Do I need to repeat that again? Know that no problem that you are facing is bigger than your God. Do not listen to the voice of discouragement. Say like David said, in your darkest moment, God's light is going to burst forth. And God is going to make a way where there is no way. God is going to bring you through triumphantly and victoriously for his glory. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap this morning. I like that. Yeah. Let's pray. Holy God, we give you thanks and praise for this day. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you prepare us and fit us for battle. Help us, Lord, remember how amazing and awesome you are. Help us remember that you created the entire universe and you can help us out of wherever we are in our life. Strengthen us, God. Help our focus be on you and help us never lose that focus. We love you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Jamie and I are going to sing and we want you to echo with us, all right? Echo with us.
You are holy,
you are holy,
you are mighty,
you are mighty,
you are worthy,
you are worthy,
worthy of praise. I will follow,
I will follow,
I will listen,
I will listen,
I will love you,
I will love you,
all of my days. King of kings, you are mighty God, Lord of everything.
the Prince of Peace, who is the Lamb. You're the living God, you're my saving grace. You will reign forever, you are Ancient of Days. You're the Alpha, the Omega, beginning and end. You're my Savior, Messiah, Redeemer and Friend. You're my Prince of Peace, and I will live. You are worthy of praise.